For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to Genesis chapter 24, this verses 1 through 27. We will read again a portion from Genesis 24, verses 1 through 27. And there we read God's holy word, "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." And the servant put his hand on the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well and draw water, and drew for all his camels. And a man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So far the reading of the word of God. Beloved congregation, here we are, sitting in church with a part of the congregation. And this evening, another part of the congregation hopes to gather in our church building. I did not dare to hope for the government to ease the restrictions to this extent. We have prayed for our government and pleaded with the Lord that we can gather in person again. We prayed for it. But did we really expect this to happen this week and to this extent? This is beyond my expectation. To me, only one response fits: thanksgiving in humility. The Lord is good to us, undeserving people. He has heard our prayers. Well, I had so little expectation. And this points me to our God who hears prayers in surprising ways, so that we will acknowledge this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this morning we want to continue this series on Abraham, and we will hear about God surprisingly hearing prayer. God provides a wife for Isaac, and all events happen in God's providence. The theme of the sermon is God's providence and our prayers. This means that we command all to the Lord, look for open doors, and worship God. God's providence and our prayers. This means that we, first of all, command all to the Lord. Secondly, look for open doors. Thirdly, worship God. Congregation, in this chapter we see three men wrestling with God. First of all, we see Abraham, who is pondering the way the Lord will in what way the Lord will fulfill his covenant promises. Abraham is quite advanced in years. His dear wife Sarah passed away 3 years ago. His son Isaac has already reached the age of 40. And Abraham thinks it's about time that he gets married. At the beginning of our chapter, we witness a conversation between Abraham and his chief servant, possible Eliezer. Is this the first time that Abraham talks with his servant about a wife for his son? It could be. But we should realize that not all conversations are recorded in Scripture. I don't think it's beyond reason to assume that Abraham has shared his thoughts with Isaac and his oldest servant. Why? Well, because God has given his covenant promises, which do not only concern Abraham, but also his son and even his servant. Since God has given his covenant promises to Abraham and his house. Not only Abraham carries the sign and seal of the covenant of grace in his body, also Isaac is circumcised, and Eliezer too. We understand from this chapter that they all feared the Lord. They all believed in God and in the fulfillment of the covenant promises. And I believe that all these three men have taken this to the Lord in prayer. Maybe not only Abraham, but also Isaac and Eliezer have concluded that a wife for Isaac should not be taken from the Canaanites. They all three are in need of the Lord's direction. All three carry in their heart the prayer, "Show us thy way." These men know of their limitations and dependence on the Lord. They don't say, "Well, we will figure out what the will of the Lord is by just doing what we think is most reasonable. And then if it is not according to God's will, he will let us know." No, these men acknowledge that they don't know the Lord's way. Since our fallen Adam and Eve, our understanding of the Lord's way and will is polluted. We need light from above and a heart that is attentive to the Lord's directions. And though these men use common sense, they do not pursue mere human wisdom. They are in need of God. They know God as the one who surrounds them with his covenant blessings. They are keenly interested in the fulfillment of God's promises. God has promised that out of Abraham he will build a great nation and that this nation will be a blessing to others. The promised seed, the Messiah, will not come if Isaac do not receive children. And therefore he needs to get married and become a family. In verse 40 we read that Abraham sought to walk before the Lord. Maybe one day he said to the other men, "Let us pray about this most important matter." Maybe in the presence of all the servants, he displayed his dependence on the Lord, pleading for the Lord's direction. And did the Lord hear that prayer? Yes, he did. He did so before any of these three men could notice the fulfillment of it. We know the story. And what appears? While these three men are wrestling with God about the fulfillment of his promise, somewhere else, at a distance of hundreds of kilometers, a girl is performing her daily task, not knowing what will happen to her in a month's time, not suspecting that she will become the mother of a nation out of which the promised Messiah will be born. Her name is Rebecca. It was already determined in the Lord's counsel that she would become Isaac's wife. From eternity, the Lord had decided this. But Abraham did not know that. Eliezer did not know. Isaac did not know. And Rebekah did not know. And yet, through the Lord's providence, they came to know that. Yes, for sure. But we cannot put a period after this comfortable truth, namely that God's counsel shall stand and that he will do all his pleasure. When we are to answer the question, how does God carry out his counsel? Then it appears that it pleases him to include his people's humble prayers. The Heidelberg Catechism justly summarizes in answer 117 that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And we read in Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God fulfills his promises in the way of prayer. God is honored if we ask him all he has commanded us. And in the way of prayer, the Lord carries out his counsel and fulfills his promises. Do you think that the date that our government would ease restrictions regarding worship services was not known by God? Of course. All happens according to the Lord's counsel. And yet, this does not exclude, but include our humble prayers, so that we can only marvel about the Lord's wisdom and grace. And that is what we notice in this chapter as well. We see Abraham pondering the Lord's way and direction. He lives close to the covenant of God. He is waiting on the Lord to fulfill his promises. And yet, this does not make him passive, but stirs him up to plead with the Lord. He meditates upon God's promises and considers prayerfully the way he should go. We also notice Abraham's servant praying for the Lord's guidance and direction in carrying out his task to choose a wife for Isaac and to take her along with him to Canaan. We also find Isaac in the field, meditating upon the Lord's words and ways, as we read in verse 63. There he was prayerfully meditating, expecting the Lord to answer his prayer, looking forward to meeting with Eliezer again, praying that he would take along a wife for him. Praying and meditating on God's will, revealed in his word, is the Lord's way of fulfilling his covenant promises. That's important. Let me repeat this again. Praying and meditating on God's will, revealed in his word, is the Lord's way of fulfilling his covenant promises. That characterizes the Christian church. We see that throughout history. After Pentecost, the Christian church came together and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. God carries out his counsel in the way of prayer. Think of Peter, who was in prayer on the housetop. While he was in prayer, the Lord revealed to him his way. The Lord sent to him Cornelius, the centurion, or a servant of Cornelius, the centurion. He had also prayed to the Lord, namely that someone would come over to preach the gospel to him. These were special events. The Lord no longer gives directions to us apart from his word. We all need to know for our salvation, all we need to know for our salvation is revealed in his word. God's word is a living word, which means that the Lord still speaks to us by it. It gives directions about the way we should go. Do you notice these two? Word and prayer. They always go together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you cannot start a prayer meeting without listening to God's word first to receive direction. His word leads us to prayer, and prayer leads us to his word. That also happens in Genesis 24, when Abraham is meditating on God's promises. How can we know what to pray for if we don't know what God commands us to pray for? How can we plead if we don't know what God has promised? What do you pray for? Is it according to God's will? What is God's will? That is revealed in his word. Concerning the will of God, which is hidden to us, we pray the Lord for direction as well. The Lord will provide. And maybe you know how to express your many concerns to the Lord. Maybe you express all that bothers you. It's a blessing when you receive the grace, when you receive grace to pour out your heart to the Lord. But how do you do that? Prayer can become a mere list of requests. Prayer can be demanding. We don't know what to say. We need the guidance of the Spirit. We need enlightened eyes of understanding. We can be so blind to the way of the Lord and to His will. We can be so blind that we don't even worry whether we are in His way or not. We just assume that we are. Of course, that is what we trust. But that is not the confidence of faith, but proud presumption. To Abraham, it was not a matter of course that he walked in the Lord's ways, though he lived close to the covenant promises and received many blessings. He knows himself to be dependent on the Lord. And for the future, he expects all from the Lord. He seeks to live according to God's will. Abraham needs the Lord in everything. And Eliezer, his God-fearing servant, as well. Especially when it comes to the fulfillment of the great promise that compels them to pray. But what about you? Do you look forward to God applying His covenant promises to your heart personally? If so, then you will often be found in prayer, pleading His covenant promises. Maybe you wonder, but is the Lord willing to hear me? Well, the Lord is faithful. It pleases Him when we pray for the fulfillment of His promises. It pleases Him to find us on our knees, confessing our unworthiness, and at the same time, expecting everything from Him. We are inclined to doubt the Lord's ability and willingness, especially when we assume that the Lord will not hear. If you sense that the Lord does not hear, then what? Then you can follow your own reasoning? You must figure it out yourself? No, it should compel us to a continual prayer. But let us pay attention to our second thought, namely that we look for open doors. Abraham believes that it is according to the will of God that he calls his servant and gives him instruction to find a wife for Isaac with his kindred. Eliezer must swear that he will not take a wife from the Canaanites, nor take Isaac to Haran. Eliezer accedes to Abram's request and confesses to depend on the Lord's guidance by making a vow. Abraham is convinced that the Lord will provide, not because he believes that he deserves the fulfillment. During his lifetime, he has learned that left to himself, he can only get in God's way. That makes him humble and dependent. And yet, because of God's promises, he speaks boldly of the Lord's providence. He believes that God will send his angel. How does he know? Because that is what the Lord had done in the past more often. Recall the story of Ishmael and Hagar, who were sent into the wilderness and ended up by a fountain of water in deep despair. The angel of the Lord had given guidance to Hagar with comforting words. You can also think of what happened to Abraham when he was about to slay his own son. The angel stopped him from doing so. The angel of the Lord was with him. And I think especially of the time an angel spoke to Abraham. He delivered the encouraging message from Jehovah God, as it is recorded in chapter 22, verse 17, namely that the Lord will multiply his seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Will not this angel go before his servant, bringing God's promises to their fulfillment? And with this rich promise, the servant leaves Abraham's tent. He also takes a lot of goods with him. As it were, he takes a dowry with him, namely 10 camels, gold and silver and other jewelry. Abram's servant leaves well prepared. And after many days, he arrives at a well of water just outside the city of Nahor, which is the city called Haran in Mesopotamia. It is evening, the set time for women to draw water for the flocks. Eliezer made the camels kneel down to give them rest. This is the place where Abraham's relatives live. And Eliezer is wondering which woman he should approach. How can he know which girl is chosen by God to become Isaac's wife? Sensing his need of the Lord's direction, he asks for a sign, a token from the Lord. And while he asks for a token, he also considers what kind of wife Isaac's needs. What kind? A humble, caring, and strong woman who is industrious as well. She needs to be that kind of woman, since it will not be easy for her to leave her family and to live and raise children in a foreign land. And with these qualifications in his mind, he prays to the Lord for direction. He does not ask a random token. What he asks from the Lord relates to the reasonable conditions he had determined for Isaac's wife. And that is what he takes in prayer to the Lord. As it were, he prays, God of Abraham, the God who keeps his covenant promise, I am here at the well, sent by my master. I am looking for a humble, caring, and strong woman for Isaac. Will thou open my eyes for her? And what sign does he ask for? Let the damsel to whom I make a request respond positively. What kind of request? A request that shows that she is humble, caring, and industrious. We read in verse 24, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And even before Eliezer had finished prayer, a young woman shows up, walking toward the well with a pitcher on her shoulder. She's the first one who comes to the well. She must be industrious and strong. And Eliezer watches her movements, and he can tell from her clothes that she is unmarried. She's a beautiful woman as well. And she goes uphill, and just before she passes him, he walks to her and addresses her, Miss, please give me a little water from your pitcher. And what happens? She answers exactly according to his prayer. She says, drink, and I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She's very humble and ready to serve. And so she went up and down to fill her pitcher, providing all the camels with water. That was not a small job. That took her some time and energy. And we imagine that Eliezer was astonished and surprised. Is the God of Abraham already providing a wife for Isaac right now? He experienced, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. It was according to the Lord's will that Rebekah came to the well first, and that she was addressed by Eliezer while she was on her way Eliezer bowed before the Lord in prayer, beseeching the Lord to direct him to Isaac's future wife. And maybe you wonder, but what would have happened if Eliezer had not taken his need to the Lord? Well, then he would not have known that this damsel was directed on his way. Then he would still wonder, does it mean something that this woman is willing to give me to drink and that she offers to give water to the camels as well? He would not have known. He would not have recognized this as the Lord's providence. But now, the Lord is answering his prayer. His eyes are opened for the Lord's direction. Do you notice the importance of prayer when it comes to understanding the Lord's way and direction? No, we cannot ask a sign like Eliezer did, yet the Lord still gives direction and guidance by his word. God's word is a living word that speaks to you in every practical, in very practical ways by applying his word in the particular circumstance you are in. And when it comes to the need of your soul, for instance, you struggle with your guilt before God and you wonder if the Lord is willing to forgive your sins as well. If you wonder how the blood of Christ can be applied to your heart, then the Lord is still providing in all these struggles in the way of a humble prayer. By laying all your needs before the Lord, he still answers in such a way that you will only marvel about the Lord's wisdom and guidance. He lets you read a portion of Scripture that fits exactly with your need. And by the applicatory work of the Spirit, you find peace with the Lord. Or the sermon answers the questions you have laid before the Lord in prayer long ago or more recently. And Eliezer experiences that the God of Abraham, the God of the covenant, hears prayer. Yet, he is cautious of making hasty conclusions that she must be the one. He wants to make sure that he is not mistaken, that she is appointed by God to marry his master. He grabs a golden earring and two bracelets from his luggage and holds them before her and asks, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him." And then Eliezer puts the earring on her face and the bracelets upon her hands. Now he knows this is from the Lord. He has laid his need in the hands of the Lord. And now he is experiencing the Lord provides. We notice that Eliezer does not make hasty conclusion after the first opening the Lord provides. Faith is thoughtful and careful. Not every open door should be entered into. Eliezer realizes that if this industrious woman is not one of Abram's relatives, she cannot be the one who is intended to marry Isaac. He seeks for a confirmation. And when it appears that she is a granddaughter of Abram's brother, he is humbled and believes that the Lord is prospering his cause. So to speak, he enters through that open door. And after he is confirmed in his cause, time and again, he is humbled deeply. But we learn that not every open door should be entered into. Not every opportunity opening, not every opportunity opening up to us is from God. That includes practical lessons when you are looking for the Lord's direction. Living prayerfully with an open Bible is the best guidance on your life's path. Solomon says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." The Lord is doing so through word and spirit. And we should be cautious to open doors which fit so well with our desires or our way of reasoning. Think of the history of David cutting off the edge of Saul's robe. That happened in a cave in the wilderness of Engedi. Saul was hunting after David, and Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. He did not know that David was hiding there. And it happened all by God's providence. And the men of David considered this the occasion for David to kill Saul and to become king according to God's promise. To this man, it was obvious. The Lord is fulfilling his promises. He delivers his enemy into your hand, David. And yet David was troubled when he moved towards Saul. He knew that it was not according to God's will to stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed. And so he did not, but used the occasion to prove his innocence. David, he saw an open door. And yet the open door was not given by God. If David had listened to the counsel of his men, he would have acted against God's word. David did not expect a creature to fulfill the Lord's promise, but God himself. And the same attitude we find here with Abram's servant. He expects God to fulfill his promises. And so he concludes, if this damsel is intended to become Isaac's wife, then the Lord will confirm the other conditions as well. Eliezer does not look to the creature to know the Lord's way. He looks to the covenant God, and he is not put to shame. It's humbling, congregation. It's humbling that we cannot fulfill God's promises. We can do nothing for our salvation. If the Lord does not show us the narrow gate of salvation, we will never enter in. We need the Lord's guidance when we seek to walk in his way. And by nature, we find it difficult to bow under his will and his providence, since this is against our flesh. How do you learn to bow? Well, only by grace. Only by the Spirit of God, who opens our hearts and who bends our will. We don't only need to know the way of the Lord, we also need grace to comply and to follow the Lord's directions. To follow the Lord does not mean that he only opens doors of success, no, rather he will open doors that teach us to die to self in order that we would increasingly become Christ-like. And when the Lord opens your eyes for his way and makes you willing to follow him, then you shall definitely bend your knees in humility and amazement. And then you experience that the Lord is directing your way. As it were, you hear the Lord say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." As soon as Eliezer notices that the Lord is dealing with him graciously, he can only do one thing. Worship God because of who he is and of what he has done. Eliezer bows down in deep humility, thanking God for his goodness and providence. And so we have come to our third point, worshiping God. Abram's servant is humbled. He's overwhelmed because his eyes are opened for the riches of God's grace. And he recognizes and acknowledges, the Lord went before me, just as he had promised. In verse 7, we read that Abraham says that the Lord will send his angel before him. What did the angel do? He's the servant of the Lord who directs all his ways. And without realizing, Eliezer was led to the well by the angel. He was led by him to Isaac's future wife. In verse 27, we hear something of Eliezer's humble response. He praises the God of his master Abraham. And by these words, he confesses the God of Abraham is the God who is faithful to his own covenant promises. God has made a covenant with Abraham and his seed. And Eliezer recognizes the Lord fulfilling his promises. He also calls him the God of truth. God cannot lie. God is faithful to his word. He fulfills his promises. And God hears prayer. In verse 12, we read his humble prayer. He pleads with the Lord, show me kindness. And the Hebrew word used here is the same as he used in his thanksgiving prayer, which is translated to mercy. That is God's undeserved goodness shown to people since he is faithful to his covenant. Eliezer prayed for God's covenant mercy. And now he is thanking for God's covenant mercy. It's because of the Lord's mercy that Eliezer witnesses the Lord fulfilling his promises. Child of God, is it not because of the Lord's mercy that he has sought and found you in your miserable state? You were lost, but the Lord found you. He caused you to turn to him, confessing your sins. He led you out of the slavery of sin. He drew you unto himself, granting you all covenant blessings. He forgives your sins. He renews your life. He promises eternal life. It's all because of his mercy. He grants you his goodness, which he is not obliged to give you, but which he freely bestows, remembering his covenant. To what does it lead you? Are you still humbled by God's mercy? We need the Lord's ceaseless care. Daily we need his mercy, since we are covenant transgressors because of our unfaithfulness. And what a miracle that the Lord still runs after covenant transgressors and shows them his mercy. Every day our eyes need to be opened to God's undeserved goodness shown to us. Should the fact that we may gather with a much larger number this morning not lead us to humility? And this is for the encouragement of all those who wonder whether the Lord will receive them in mercy. The Lord will never do so because of you. Eliezer acknowledges, this is given from the Lord. and therefore he can rejoice in the Lord. The only reason the Lord hears us is because of the Lord's mercy. He is faithful to his own covenant. Don't think that the greatest miracle of his mercy is that he will look upon you. Maybe that is what you think. You know yourself to be such a great sinner. It will be a miracle of grace if the Lord looks upon you, granting his mercy. Well, I agree. It is a great miracle if the Lord does that. But you should never forget that in order to look upon sinners like you and me, he has performed a miracle that is even greater. He has sent his only begotten Son into this world to merit the fulfillment of the covenant promises. That is the greatest miracle of God's covenant mercy. He has laid the penalty which you deserve upon his beloved Son. Christ has paid for our sins and merited eternal life in the stead of his people. It is for Christ's sake that the Lord is able to grant you his mercy. You are directed to Christ if you wonder if the Lord can fulfill his covenant promises in your life. It pleases the Lord to be merciful to you for Christ's sake. And if you are still a stranger to God's grace, then you should realize that it is only because of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed. The Lord has no pleasure in our death, but that we turn from our wickedness and live. You are so poor and miserable if you don't know of the Lord's truth and mercy in your personal life. If you don't know of a life directed by the Lord, of being surrounded by his fatherly goodness and faithfulness, seek the Lord while he can be found. Don't postpone, but beseech for the Lord's mercy now. And his mercy leads to worship. In this whole chapter, we notice Eliezer's humble posture. Every time we read that he bowed before the Lord, the only fitting response to God's mercy shown to us is worshiping God in humility. At the close of verse 52, we read that he bowed himself to the earth. He laid flat on the ground with his face to the dust, praising God. That is worshiping God in optimum form. Then we are deeply humbled and God greatly praised. That is the proper response when we are overwhelmed by the Lord's goodness shown to us. And then we will speak well of the Lord. We hear Eliezer telling the whole story to Rebekah's family. He's not boasting, telling them what good he all did. No, he speaks about the Lord's great works shown to him and his master Abraham. He tells about God's faithfulness and mercy. God provides. He is the covenant-keeping God. The Lord makes all things well. He provides from beginning to end. Do you know of that wonder of grace? God is good to the undeserving. Your heart is connected to the Lord. Your desire goes out to him who is so amazingly good to you. You desire to praise him in your life. Can you relate to these experiences? Then you will often be found on your knees, not only praying God for his mercy, but also thanking God for his goodness shown to you. Do you seek this life? Only this is a blessed life, namely seeking the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. God is faithful. He is the God of truth. He is the God of mercy. Today we all witness that God is a prayer-hearing God. Bow to him in deep reverence and awe. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't expect anything from man. Expect all from God, who will never disappoint all those who put their trust in him. Amen.